Thank you. Well, I have my glasses. Taylor, that was great, by the way. In a sense, it kind of sets me up because some of what I'm going to talk about has to do with the spiritual warfare that exists out there. It was 20 years ago today. no, 20 or 25, somewhere in there. Pastor Mark allowed me to speak. Yes. I don't remember if it was a morning or an evening service, but I was never asked again until today. So, this may be the last time. As the Rolling Stones might say. No, I don't think so. I might have had long hair. So, I'm going to, for Don's sake, I'm going to call this a state of unbelief. We'll hopefully find out what that means. I wonder if I just hold the thing, if that helps. Okay. All right. So I had in mind to talk about a little bit about my famous book that was published last year, which most of you don't even know. That's how famous it is. And then my wife had a comment about that, and I listened to her. And then a friend of mine said, well, why don't you talk about this? And I thought it was a good idea, something I like. And then a book that I have been reading kind of went together, so I smashed them together, and hopefully I can make some sense out of this. So, a state of unbelief. So I'm going to give you some statistics. You know, there's all kinds of statistics out there. There are many things we could talk about, but we're talking about this one. In 2012, National Geographic Channel study found that 36% of Americans believe that UFOs exist. We don't talk about this in church, okay, normally. But this is about people's belief, what people are thinking out there. And guess what? Some of those people are Christians. 36% also said they believe that aliens have visited this earth. Evidence, you know, physical evidence or whatever, that aliens, that the earth has been visited. So now, switching gears a little bit, looking at the church, a Barna Group poll found in 2017 that 73% of American adults consider themselves Christian. That sounds really good. But they also found that only 10% of those who call themselves Christians have a biblical worldview. Only 10% Christians in America actually believe the Bible. So I'm not sure why those other people call themselves Christians, but that is the state of the church today. So if you look at those statistics together, again, there's probably a lot of Christians out there that believe more in aliens than they do in the Bible. You know, I don't know how many people have cable and have watched Ancient Aliens on the History Channel, but the History Channel that used to have history. And now, to make money, you know, they can go for season after season, I don't know how many years or more, talking about aliens and who have visited the earth and all these things. Well, and they even bring the Bible into it. So, what does this have to do with the Bible or salvation or evangelism? Well, if we are going to have an impact on the world, on the folks around us, our neighbors, who a very large percent believe this, and of course they believe this, there's probably some other interesting things they believe that are not biblical, then we need to know where they're coming from. We need to understand what's happening in our society and where people are at. You know, otherwise, they're just going to hear you speak the same salvation message that they probably already have heard. But they you need to really be able to relate to them. So, by the way, what these statistics say is that Bible-believing Christians are outnumbered by ET believers 3-1. That's what that says. So ET believers basically has become a religion. Extraterrestrial. ET, thank you. Thank you for helping me. Actually, that was in my next sentence. Our culture is saturated with ET extraterrestrial stories from TV to movies, ancient aliens and all. I mean, just about every movie that comes out nowadays is about something to do with high-tech stuff and extraterrestrial, how they're going to save us. And even in recent reports in mainstream media about the Pentagon and its program to study the phenomenon. Seen that in the news? That has been the last month or two. Pentagon, somehow we found out Pentagon has been studying this subject, phenomenon, for quite a few years, and they spent lots of our money on this, so they apparently take this seriously. The last two popes have said that they would, if the aliens came down, extraterrestrials came down and landed in front of the Vatican or whatever, or Washington, D.C., or whatever, they would be happy to baptize them. Now, the popes actually said that, both of them, and many of Vatican theologians have talked about aliens, and you know, and basically they have accepted that there are aliens out there, and eventually we're going to see them. Most likely, well, they'll be baptized Catholic. in 2009, I saw an article about the Vatican. This was Pope Benedict. The Vatican was hosting a conference with world leaders on what are we going to do when the aliens arrive. So they are taking this seriously. And actually, the Vatican is very interested in this. The Vatican has the most expensive, the biggest telescope in the world. Mexico, I think, Mount Graham. And this is to study what they think is coming. When I saw that article, that's basically what stopped me in my tracks. I decided, okay, time to stop reading John Grisham and all the other novels, fiction that I was reading just to pass the time, get back to serious Bible study and understanding prophecy and what was going on. I think this all relates to Bible prophecy, and it relates to spiritual warfare. So have I gotten your attention with the alien thing? Like I say, we don't talk about these types of things in church very often. So how did our society, how did we get here? This is the other half. This is what my friend suggested to talk on. A Presbyterian theologian, Peter Jones, really cool guy, and I really like him. And don't be afraid of the word theologian or theology. I know a lot of times we think, oh, that's way up there, and we can't think about that, you know. We're down here, we don't have those kind of thoughts. But really, theology, what does it mean? Right. Words about God, or thinking about God. So Peter Jones, he came from England, and just a side note, when he was younger, the Beatles, before they were the Beatles, invited him to join the group. He was a keyboard player, and his mom said no. She was a good Christian lady, and she didn't think that was a good way to go. And he's thankful now for that. Like he says, he and John Lennon went totally opposite directions. So Peter Jones says that he helps to break down the difference between what we think or what the Bible teaches, but the rest of the world teaches or understands, or and paganism. So he names it oneism and twoism. That's about as simple as you can get. It comes from Romans 1:25. Finally, I'm going to read a Bible verse. A lot of times I like to just go through a bunch of Bible verses, but today is not that kind of a deal. So in Romans 1:25, it says, talking about people in general, humanity, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature or creation rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So basically, that shows there's two types of people. Those that worship creation, the creature, as it says, sometimes that boils down to humanity, even worship of human beings, rather than the Creator. So the two views here, first of all, how does this relate to aliens? A very popular belief right now is out there in science land, I guess. And this isn't just ancient aliens crazy stuff, but they believe that aliens evolved to be super intelligent beings and seeded humanity. And even Richard Dawkins, a very intelligent atheist, has said that, you know, he knows that evolution does not explain everything. And he doesn't want to say that God could have created, you know, we see. So instead, he is able to accept that, because evolution, that somewhere out there, there's some aliens evolved to be so smart they could come down and just throw out some humanity seeds on the earth. And that's where all of the life and everything came from. So, of course, that's convenient for the atheist because it does away with the Creator God. But it doesn't really answer where the aliens came from, where creation came from, really. It just says, you know, it's trying to say where this intelligent life and everything. So it doesn't really answer things like that, but they think that's good enough for now anyway. So what does God say? He says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the difference. Either we have all of creation that takes in everything, which could, you know, for people who believe that, then that could mean, you know, if there is some sort of divineness in creation, then it's just part of creation. So, you know, people who believe that God is in nature, Gaia worship, you know, earth worship, or the universe, you know, the universe told me this today. That's all part of oneism, because you're saying everything is one. There's nothing outside of creation. And so the other view, there first was God, then he created everything. So God is outside of creation. So that is twoism. That's why Peter Jones uses words. So this is a very strategic lie of the enemy, this thing like, by the way, the seeding of humanity or the seeding of life on earth by aliens is called panspermia. That's what it's called. So if you want to look that up, fun. Very strategic lie of the enemy, and what it's doing is the old gods that the ancient pagans, you know, Old Testament pagans worshipped, have now become the new modern high-tech gods that we call ETs or aliens. So we're just repackaging them in a new modern way so that we can accept them easier. The pagan worldview says that all is one. Everything exists in nature, oneism. Then the biblical worldview says that God exists outside of creation, twoism. Okay, God plus creation. Peter Jones points out how the Star Wars movies are a good example of oneism. And if you're a Star Wars fan, I don't want to offend anybody. I saw the first Star Wars, and I've seen a couple other ones, but the first Star Wars I saw in the theater, and I was by myself, and it was very exciting. And I felt like I was flying those little starships, whatever they were called. Does everybody remember what they're called? Starfighter. Yeah. It was fun. I thought I was really there. Well, so anyway, Peter Jones wrote a book after that movie came out. He called it The Gnostic Empire Strikes Back. And really, this stuff has to do with Gnosticism, but I'm not going to try to go into that. But he has some really good things to say about Star Wars and that there's a theology in Star Wars. Well, there's a theology in almost everything you see and watch today. And that does not mean it's about our God. Quite often it's about other gods. But what Peter Jones says is, morality is what you make it. The force is either good or evil, depending on how you tap into it via your emotions. There is no objective distinction between good or evil. That's what Star Wars teaches. And also he says, spirituality is found within, not revealed from the outside. You have it all in you. Use the force, Luke. Luke Skywalker must trust his feelings, empty his mind of questions, and feel the force flowing through him in order to create his own truth. That's what Star Wars teaches. All the Star Wars movies, it's all in there. And George Lucas tapped into some very New Age sources and everything. He did this on purpose. It wasn't just something, a nice fantasy in his head, but he had an agenda when he came up with these movies. And I would say that most of these movies today have a similar agenda. So in Star Wars, done with Peter Jones's quote there, in Star Wars, God is an impersonal force or an energy, not a creator separate from his creation. Then he goes on to list several pagan ideas that Star Wars teaches. Everything is relative. There is no distinction between animals, humans, and machines. There are no moral absolutes. There is no unique divine human mediator. There is no personal God separate from us who made and redeemed the world. That's more of what Star Wars teaches. Sir Isaac Newton, in the late 1600s and early 1700s, he was one of the West's greatest scientists, and he said many years ago, this most beautiful system of the sun, planets, and comets could only proceed from the counsel and dominion of an intelligent and powerful being. This being governs all things, not as the soul of the world, but as Lord over all, separate from creation. And Peter Jones says, thanks in part to Lucas, George Lucas, many now believe that humanity is that intelligent and powerful being, empowered by the force, and that we will save ourselves. That is not the gospel. That is the lie. That's the lie from the Garden of Eden. So our nation and our world is increasingly returning to paganism. ETs and Star Wars theology, others, words about God, and in most cases, little g gods, theology is the perfect blend to bring a science and tech worshiping humanity back to this new but slash old last days hybrid paganism. That's what I want to call it, is a hybrid paganism, because they are able with this type of theology to put science and technology and spirituality together and say it's all one. Somehow we can believe in all this supernatural stuff and say it's part of, you know, it's science. So the scientists can now believe all of this New Age stuff. So the New Age movement is really just the old lie in the garden, new packaging. Someday, and I'll tell you a little bit about, I have had, where my craziness comes from, perhaps. I've had a couple UFO experiences, and I was also at the same time, which I think is significant, was into New Age, Eastern mysticism and that sort of thing. Yoga, and it's part of yoga, and really all of it is not a good thing to be doing, by the way. So, you know, I have a little background in this and I was a Christian at the time. I just thought, like some of these other people think, it was all part of God. God just does all these different things, comes to you in many different ways. Romans 1:20 says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, without excuse." So I hope that this helps you understand better your neighbor who probably believes some of this stuff and worships other gods, most likely, but to understand, help you talk to them and present the gospel in a way, you know, kind of like Paul on Mars Hill. He was able to talk to them about their unknown God, and they could understand and present the gospel. Hope that is helpful for you. Thank you.
Thank you, you crazy